Appreciate that report as well. Saved you some time. Now you might get out on time today. I don't know. We'll see how that works. Okay, good. So yeah, it's good to be here. I think as far as I know, this is my first time in this congregation. And I'm taken back by your building. This is beautiful. Love the scenery here. Love the atmosphere. I was a little worried before the service started because there weren't very many people in here. And then you filled it up within 5 minutes. I don't know how you did that. You must all came from the same Sunday school class or something. That was very good. And so it's our pleasure to be here. We like to travel around and share the word of the Lord with different people. We were in the UP this week. We were support staff, Fran and I were, at a VBS that our son, one of our sons is a pastor up in the UP in Munising, at Munising Baptist, and our daughter is married to a youth pastor, youth and family pastor at Allegan Bible Church, and they got together with some of the youth group from Allegan to go and do the Vacation Bible School at Munising Baptist, and Fran and I were support staff, and we were chasing the little kids around all week, having fun with that. Six kids got saved, but I'm giving you this as a warning. If you stand up and start going down that aisle to leave the building, I might just chase you like you're a toddler or something like that. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's good to be here, and it's good to be able to share God's word. Let me pray, and then we'll get started. I'll set this whole thing up for you, and we'll go forward. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity we have today to come together as a community of believers to be a church that worships and praises and looks at your word and tries to glean from your word ways that we can become more like you. Lord, we pray that as we do this today, that you would bless us with your presence, not only your presence, but your knowledge. And Lord, not only that, but the ability then to come closer and closer to you, to follow your word better and better as we go. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today, what I've prepared for this morning is a message about the renewing of the mind, renewing our minds toward godliness. And in order to do this, we're going to have to start talking in extremes, okay? And so we're going to talk about some things in extremes. Like, I know that I'm not going to be talking about you during this part, but as we go forward, we'll see that those extremes will be able to lead us to some of the more subtle answers that we look for. And as we make those parallels from the extremes into our own lives, that we can say, yeah, you know, I do have some of that in my life, or I do have some of this in my life. I don't want you to be offended as we get started, but I want you to know ahead of time that that we're going to boil this down, and we're going to bring it to a place where we can, we can metabolize it and put it into our lives as we leave here today. And so the first verse that I want to start off with, and we're starting with extreme negative, Isaiah 64:6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings like the wind take us away. And so while we're talking about this, we just have to realize that, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same way. We're all sinners. And even our best deeds, even our best things are impure because we're impure. And because, the things that affect us in our culture, the things that affect us in our lives are tainted, and they're going in the wrong direction. It's worldliness that we face on a daily basis. We come into a place like this for a little bit of a break, where we can get with some believers and we can forget about some of the world problems, you know, but as soon as we're done here, we're back out there, and we need to affect the world rather than the world affecting us. Our wrongdoings, like the wind, take us away, right? And even the smallest things, my wife, Fran, right here with the curly red hair, you probably saw her on Charlie Brown, the curly red-haired girl. That's what she did before she married me. She was on Charlie Brown. I just made that one up. How was it? It was good. Okay, good. she says, when we quit stopping at stop signs, the next thing after that is a bunch of bigger problems in traffic. And, you know, I think that's pretty well supported by different facts and different studies that have been done. The little things that we do that are wrong, okay, lead us to the extreme things that we're going to be talking about. And so in the extreme that we're going to be talking about here, in the extreme manifestation of that, we come to a depraved mind. We might not think that we have a depraved mind, but in some small sense, our minds are depraved. We're still here on earth. We're not totally sanctified yet. We're not totally Christ-like yet, and our mind is cluttered. Our mind is wrong. We have wrong things. And left to our depraved mind, or in the old language, reprobate mind, our depraved mind takes us away. Like the wind, blows us away, like a leaf in the wind. There's a lot of different ways that we can describe this depraved mind. Sinful or sin-sickened, degenerate would be another word. Who wants to be called that? Not me. Immoral, debased, corrupt, no good for anything. I like this one, unprincipled mind. Depraved, good for nothing. Romans 12, 21 and 22 leads us up to where we're going to find where we get this term from. Romans 1, 21 and 22, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings, okay? And that's a mindset, futile in their reasonings. And their senseless hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools. So they were futile in their reasonings, they could not think straight, okay? Futility is an inability to do the thing that you want to do. Like when you go into the kitchen and you wonder, why am I here? Does that happen to you? I don't remember why I came in here. That's futile. You know, it's a futile practice. I can guess, you know, I may get a cup of water and go back to the couch and there's already a cup there. Well, that wasn't it, you know. But they're futile in their reasonings and their senseless hearts are darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind. And that's where we're getting the word of the phrase depraved mind from. I'm not just making that up. This is what God's word says. To do those things that are not proper. Okay? The depraved mind. So in those verses, we had that they did not reverence God, they did not value God's word, and they no longer showed God's moral character. That's three steps from the bottom to the top, from where you are, from godliness to being debased. Three steps, okay? We can see this in the Genesis narrative. Genesis 3:6, the beginning of that verse says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, okay? So what's she doing there? She's not reverencing God, right? She's starting to see from a humanistic side of things that this tree's got some value, that this tree might offer something that God might be trying to hold back from us. They did not reverence God. They did not glorify God as God. And as I said, from a humanistic standpoint, they began to see this tree in a different way. Okay? And then the next part of this verse, they were thinking that they would become wise or more wise, but they became fools. Here's the second half of this verse. She took some of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. They did not value God's word. God told them what to do with that tree. You can keep the tree, you can manicure the tree, but you can't eat from that tree. And they did not value God's word. So they've already, they did not reverence God or listen to his instructions, and they did not value his word. They did the opposite of what he said. And then in verse 7, the beginning of that verse, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. They knew that they no longer reflected God's moral character. Three steps from walking with God as He would come to see them in the garden to now being alienated from God. Three easy steps. And do we follow those steps? I think we do. I think this happens to us. We do not reverence God sometimes. We don't place value in His Word many times. And because of our sins, we no longer reflect the character of God. And then we see the immediate consequences of sin. They tried to hide from God. And they tried to hide from each other. They made loincloths and they realized their shame. And they tried to hide it from one another. And God came and obviously sought them out and made His corrections with them and handed out His judgments to them. So these two things are in absolute opposition. The godly mind versus the worldly mind. Or a mind set in godliness or the depraved mind. And they're in opposition to one another. Here's what Galatians 5:17 says. For the desire of the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. These things are in opposition to one another. And they're both here in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds, because we're depraved. We have that depraved mind. We would like to follow God, but we wander. Think of ancient Israel. One minute they're following God, Moses goes up the mountain, and the next minute they're making a golden calf to worship. We would like to be near God, but we've wandered, and then once we've wandered, now we wonder, where is God? Well, God didn't move. We're the ones that turned our back on Him. We're the ones that have strayed from what His Word says. We're the ones that did not reverence Him or follow His Word. And so we wonder why God is far from us. And because we've wandered and we've gone so far from God, we begin to waste our opportunities. The works of the flesh are manifested in us, and they become our real life practice. Because as you sin, you get sensitized to that sin. It becomes more and more normal. And as you go, it just becomes natural. You forget about God. You wandered away. You wonder where He is. And maybe your language has changed. Maybe your activities have changed. Maybe the people that you hang out with or who you are supposed to be influencing for godliness, they're now influencing you for a depraved mind, right? Because we haven't stuck to our godliness model. And so the problem is there. Now here's our focus passage for today is Ephesians 4. Focus passage is Ephesians 4. And 4:14 says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people and the craftiness in deceitful scheming. So every wind of doctrine, we have a windy verse again. Okay? Every wind of doctrine carries us away. Doctrine is a teaching. It doesn't have to be something from the Bible. There's worldly doctrines out there. There's political doctrines out there. And every doctrine does not need to be followed by us as godly people. We need to follow the doctrines of God, the teachings of God. And it says here that we're supposed to no more be children. We're no more supposed to be simple, unlearned, undisciplined as Christians. We're supposed to grow up, no longer tossed to and fro by waves or by the winds of doctrine. No more being carried about by peer pressure. No more carried about by, economic pressure or other pressures that force us to do things that we know we shouldn't do because we feel we have no other way out of whatever the situation is. We do them anyway. Because we're not thinking right. We're not trusting God the way we should. No more being fooled by faith healers or prosperity gospel preachers or people who have a word of prophecy, those people who show up at your doorstep on Saturday morning and knock on your door with these little books and pamphlets in their hands. We are supposed to influence them. They are not supposed to influence us. And we influence them by the Word of God. Not by our good idea, but by God's good idea. Ephesians 4:17 says, "So I say this and affirm in the Lord that you are to no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds." Again, in the futility of their minds, the depraved mind, we're not supposed to walk like the world walks. Right? We're not supposed to partake in the various different activities that the world partakes in that are not according to the Word of God just because everybody's doing it. And I love this example. I get some pushback on this example once in a while. But I think if you're patient with me, you'll end up figuring out what I'm trying to say. A few years ago, Michigan voted in the legalization of marijuana. Right? Now, I'm sure nobody in this room voted for that. I'm sure we all voted against that. But the collective vote of everybody that was in Michigan is there, and we all voted, right? And as people in Michigan, we voted, even though we voted against it, okay? Don't yell at me yet. Even though we voted against it, as a group, as the electorate, we voted to legalize marijuana. So as a subgroup, as the Christians, as the people with moral character, the people that are following God, we failed to influence the total group enough so that vote would go the way that we would like to. Now, we still need to fight that. We still need to stand up against that. But we also have to own it, right? All the things that are going on in the world's agenda, the things that are happening around us, all the wokeness, all the different things that are going on, it might seem like an unbearable chore, but you know what? Influencers are a thing now, right? With social media and all that. Well, we need to be influencers like we should have been the whole time, influencing people toward godliness. And moving people towards God's Word rather than just letting the world's agenda run rampant around us. We're supposed to be mature. Maturity is associated with Christ-likeness. Ignorance or vanity is in them because God's Word is not in them. And how do we influence them? Well, we try to get God's Word in them. And God's Word can break into the most hardened heart. I have some friends that I used to play ball with that were totally hardened, totally. You would never think that they would ever turn to Christ and have turned to Christ and follow Him faithfully now because people influence them with the Word of God. So, maturity is associated with Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4, 20 and 21 says that, you know, you didn't learn Christ-likeness by going to the world, okay? It says, you did not learn Christ in this way if you indeed have heard him and have been taught him just as the truth is in Jesus. You didn't learn Jesus by going through the world. You learned Jesus by being faithful in his word, by gathering together with other believers in places like this and worshiping and hearing what God's word says and trying to make applications as we go forward. The truth is in Jesus, the living word of God. Jesus, the living word of God, we have the incarnate word of God, we have the written word of God right here with us. There's no reason why we can't proclaim it. So, here's the contrast, and we're going to get to Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, just as we get ready to go forward here. It's the degenerate, good-for-nothing mind being changed to a regenerate, good-for-everything mind through God's word. Ephesians 2, 22 to 24, this is a passage I'm sure you've read many times and probably heard a lot of different sermons on. In reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourself of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that's the worldliness, and that you are renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and in holiness of the truth. So this is a key thing here. This is how do we go from the depraved mind to the godly mind? Well, the key verse there is verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be renewed, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not like a man-made psychotherapy where maybe somebody tries to quit smoking by chewing gum, okay? So that might work. You're just changing your habit. You're doing a different thing, and that probably will work as long as your teeth hold out, you know, as long as you're not stressed too much or whatever your triggers are don't happen. But in that, you've only changed what you're doing. You're not changing what you would do. Because left alone, with the perfect opportunity, you might just light one up. Right? Because you haven't changed what you would do. Now, I like to illustrate this point with a story about myself. I love those little apple pies that come in a little box that you get at the store. I mean, I love those things, right? And I have for a long, long time, right? And, you know, you get them at the gas station. So, used to be that you didn't pay at the pump, right? You went inside to pay for your gas, and you come out with a pie and fill up your gas, right? And I loved to go get gas, and I'd get a pie with that. And then there was pay at the pump. But you know what? I would say, well, I don't trust that credit card thing on the pump. I'm going to go inside and pay for it inside. And I would get a pie, right? Well, as time went on, pies built up and built up and built up. And my wife convinced me that that wasn't good for me and that I should just pay at the pump, that that's fine, and that I won't get a pie that way, okay? So I love my wife, and I started doing that. So I started paying at the pump. I wouldn't go inside, and I wouldn't get a pie. What have I done? I've just changed what I'm doing, right? Now let's switch to my imagination, okay? Now, I imagine now that I'm no longer going in and buying all these pies, that these pies are piling up on the counter in there, okay? And I imagine that the owner of the gas station is probably going, man, I got to do something to get rid of these pies. That guy isn't coming in here anymore. They're paying at the pump. They're not getting the pies. And so I imagine it wouldn't be too hard to put in a kiosk next to the pump, right? And, huh? Yeah, and so you put your card in, and you know you're going to fill up, and you know how it says, "Do you want a receipt?" Well, it would say, "Do you want a pie with that?" And which button am I going to push? Yes, I want a pie with that, because I haven't changed what I would do. I've only changed what I am doing. Right? The renewing of the mind is what changes what you would do. And so now I do have the power to go into Meijer or go into a gas station or do whatever and not get one of those pies, because I now believe that those pies aren't good for me and that I shouldn't be doing that. And that makes my wife happier. I mean, it's not like I never ever get one, but you know, for a certain occasion I can get one. So we have to change what we would do, and that is done by verse 23, the renewing of your mind. And so the common analogy there is, you know, we probably heard this in our youth groups and all that, put off the dirty shirt, clean up, put on the new shirt of godliness. The analogy works okay, except that the cleanup that you need is on the inside. Okay? The cleanup that you need is on the inside. Now, let's go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's our connection, the renewing of our mind. This is still the same thing that we're talking about. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That word there, transformed, is the Greek word that we get metamorphosis from, like a caterpillar that changes from the inside of the cocoon and comes back out as a butterfly. It's an inside-out transformation. Be transformed from the inside out by God's word. Okay? This verse, my Greek teacher, I'm sorry, I just had a little, I was trying to think of his name, it was Dr. Matham, and it didn't click right away, but Dr. Matham used to say that this verse in its Greek is written with tenses and the way the verbs are put together and everything, that it implies that you're already being conformed. Stop it. Stop being conformed. That's the way he read it in Greek. I passed Greek. I took Greek all by itself because I wasn't confident that I could pass it, and we needed Greek to get the degree. So I just dedicated one whole year to Greek only, and that's the only thing I studied for that whole year, and that's how I got through Greek. Otherwise, I read books and I find out what Greek says. But that's what he would say. And so this inside-out transformation, stop being conformed. Stop doing what you're already doing. We know that we're all sinners, right? We're all being conformed to this world. Stop it. And be transformed from the inside out. That's what this verse is telling us. Now, where would we get a thought like that? Where would that come from? Colossians 3, 9 and 10 will tell us. And if you haven't noticed, I like to let Scripture comment on Scripture. I'm not telling you a whole lot of things except an apple pie story of my own. Most of this is just God's Word talking about God's Word. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices," so here's our connection again, "and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created it." A true knowledge of God is transformative. Put off the old worldly man with his deeds, put on the new godly man, which is renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. He, God, created this new man. Suggesting that we mature and do not remain children being blown about by every wind of doctrine. Renewing our mind is accomplished. Once again, God's word will comment on God's word here. Psalm 119, 9 and 10. It will be accomplished through knowing God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? It's a good question. by keeping it according to your word. That's transformative. It's God's word. Again, it's knowledge of God, it's God's word. Verse 10, with all my heart have I sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Have you ever prayed, Lord, help my faith? This is a difficult situation we're going through. Help my faith. I don't want to falter. Or, Lord, this is going to be very difficult. I need to talk to somebody in my family about this subject, and I just need you with me. Help me. Don't let me fail. Help me remember your word when I need it. The writer goes one step further in verse 11, so that he cannot wander far from God's word, he memorizes it. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. We lived in South Africa for 8 years. We were on the team that called Dwight and Cindy Hostetler. I see them on your board. You must support them or something. You know them, I'm sure. We served with them, overlapped for about 5 years. We were there 8 years. I think they were there 7 or 8 years, but only 4 or 5 in the middle overlapped. And we would tell people in South Africa, because crime was rampant there, and I would talk to the kids about this, the teenagers, and I would say, you know, because, again, crime was rampant, thievery is everywhere. Everybody there has had a phone stolen or something like that. And I would say, when somebody's stealing your phone, are they saying verses to you while they're doing that? And they'd laugh and say, no, who could do that? Well, some smart aleck guy probably could quote a verse while he's robbing you. But generally, people who are doing crime are not quoting verses, because God's word would convict them while they're doing their sin, and I believe many of them would stop. Hide God's word in your heart. Treasure God's word so that you may not sin, so that it tempers you from your old self, the part that you've put off, the part that needs to be renewed from the inside out, the part that is renewed through the knowledge of God, through the word of God. Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind, so that you don't sin. Psalm 37, 30, and 31. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Okay, there's God's word in our heart again. And his steps do not slip. You want to have a really stable life? You want to have a really good, clean, stable life? Follow God's word. Keep it hidden. Keep it close to you. Keep it in your heart. Use it to be an influencer of other people, bringing them in with you. I mean, how much better is it to have friends who also follow God that are not going to try to take you off course? How much better would it be if the guys on your ball team, or the kids on your soccer team, or the girls in your, whatever your girls are doing, quilting bee, I don't know what. If they were godly as well, if you've influenced them to godliness, and they're less likely to drag you off into some sin. Second Timothy 3, 16 and 17 is a verse that I use very frequently. All scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. This is what we've been talking about. We've got to get God's word into our lives, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable and equipped for every good work. Again, connected to God's word, connected to the knowledge of God. An inside-out transformation, so that we will no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. It completes the circle. It's right there. So I'm going to be unconventional right now. If your pastor was here, I'd tell him to stay calm for a minute and let me finish this. I'm sure you'll like it when I'm done, okay? Here it is. Be selfish. You don't hear that from the pulpit very often. Be selfish about getting God's word into your life in as many ways as possible so that you have the best chance of following Him. So that when a situation presents itself, God's word sparks in your mind and you think about, this doesn't really add up with what God's word says. Maybe I'm going to choose not to do that. Be selfish about knowing God's word in a way that can keep you from sin. No longer be children. We grow by knowing God, and we know God by knowing His word. Now, if you're here today, and I'm getting ready to finish, so if anybody has to get ready, it's time for you to get ready. But if you're here today and you've never believed that Jesus Christ could save you from your sins, you've never trusted Him, I'm just gonna give you a couple of verses that probably all of us know. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's by faith that we get saved. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works that no one should boast. You can know God, you can know Jesus just by believing Him, being sorry for your sins, trusting Him to save you. And then, once you've done that, here's verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yes, Christianity does have good works in it. After we're saved, we need to grow. We need to do things that God would have us do. But for salvation, it's just belief. I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, I believe You're God. Jesus, I believe You died for my sins. Jesus, please save me. Just in your own head, communicate with God in the best way that you know how, and just say a prayer, something like that. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. If you're here today and you know you've been saved, think about verse 10. Have I been doing the works that God has before ordained that I should walk in? Be selfish about getting God's word in your life in a way that would do that. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity of being in Your word, for the opportunity of just knowing You. Lord, the God of the universe gives us an invitation and ability and a written word that we can know You. And Lord, I just pray that more and more people that we know, more and more people that we see, more and more people that we interact with would come to know You as well. Lord, I pray that we can be the influencers that we need to be in our world in all ways so that we honor You with the things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.